This conversation is going to be talking about Prada specifically, but also about whether it could find its way back to SA. And this is because Prada's market performance compared to competitors is quite interesting. And to help us talk about it is Michael Zakharev, who is the co-founder of Luxity. Michael joins us on the line. Good evening, Michael. Thank you so much for your time. This is a very interesting conversation when we talk about the luxury market, but give me a sense of the current performance of the luxury market right now before we talk about Prada.
Hi, good evening to you and your listeners. Yes, so Prada is quite an interesting case because as your listeners who've been following the industry might know, the luxury industry over the last, you know, since COVID has been going through stellar growth. You know, all the groups and all the brands have been recording record growth. It really has been a thriving time for the industry. But this year, and as of late, that has changed somewhat. So many of the well-known groups like Kering, which owns Gucci, LVMH, have really started to struggle, with Kering shares down 80%. A lot of the other brands like Chanel and Hermes have had quite a flat year, much smaller growth than projected, whereas Prada and Prada Group specifically have been outliers. They've registered an 18% growth this year. That's in comparison to another big player like Kering Group or Gucci, which have registered an 18% decline. So they've really been an outlier in an industry which is currently really struggling to continue the record growth it's come out of.
Okay, so what is Prada doing right versus the other competitors like LVMH and Kering?
Well, I think when we look at, you know, what Prada is doing right, they've really found a way to resonate with younger millennials, the younger market, keep their brand alive and growing without pursuing an aggressive expansion. What many of the other groups have been doing is looking to expand, particularly in China and the East. And they were very overly reliant on that. To bring in the growth. You know, many of them started to see really good growth from that market pre-COVID and became a rapid expansion into China, expecting that that's what's going to really drive demand and growth into the future. Whereas of late, with all the economic troubles going on in China, they've seen that growth isn't quite delivering. Whereas Prada has continually invested in keeping their brand appealing, keeping to innovate, and within the traditional markets where they are really reaping the rewards with the younger market, the more millennial market, and that's where that growth is really coming from.
I mentioned in my intro that one of the things we're trying to answer in this conversation is whether Prada, given the fact that it is defying the downturn, will find its way back to SA. For those who may not know, remind us, when was Prada in South Africa and for how long and why did it exit?
Yes, so Prada was in South Africa for many years. You know, they were based in the Diamond Walk in Sandton City. And the reasons to their exit aren't exactly clear. But what we do know is it did happen through COVID. Now, many people will think that maybe there wasn't demand for the brand, maybe the brand wasn't appealing. But with our luck, when we look at our Luxity data, you know, on our platform, which services hundreds of thousands of viewers a month, Prada is the third most searched for brand. So that's after Louis Vuitton and Gucci. So certainly the demand for Prada in South Africa remains high. And I would say I don't think their exit had to do specifically with demand or appeal. You know, it could have been done with a lot of other things, like the fact that COVID was happening, other business things. And therefore, I think there is a possibility that it returns in the near future.
If it does return, I mean, what would be, you know, what they tick off the list, i.e., because wanting to go back into a market that you left, there'd have to be some economic factors outside of demand that drive that decision to say, okay, we're going to have some presence there. What do you believe they'll be paying attention to as it relates to the economy?
Oh, that's a very good point that you bring up there. And I think, you know, going back to what I mentioned about China, China really isn't proving to be the big demand driver that many companies were hoping. But when we look at it and compare to it in South Africa, you know, if we look at the Clerm Shopping Center Index, they show that the luxury segment in shopping centers is the fastest growing segment of all the different segments that make up a shopping center. And because of this, many shopping centers have started to realize, you know, they really need to invest in more brands from affordable luxury to luxury. And this is leading to, you know, a new luxury wing in the V&A Waterfront, expansion of the luxury wing in Sandton City. So there certainly are good market dynamics when it comes to luxury in South Africa, and South Africa being the greatest shopping destination for the majority of Africa. So, you know, when the brands are looking where to expand internationally, perhaps South Africa is showing that it is a growing demand, unlike some of the other areas that are showing that they may have reached their peak already.
You mentioned earlier that Prada has emerged as the third most searched for, you know, brand on Luxity. What else are you picking up in terms of, you know, trends or what people are interested in when you look at the data that you're getting from those on your site?
Well, I think some of the interesting points, and these will release later in the month with our yearly State of the Market Luxury Report. But some of the interesting things are how the market is actually following international trends where there has been a drawback. We have seen year on year the growth of the prices, and in the resale market, the growth as a percentage of new that the prices are delivering, but there definitely seems to have been hit a limit at this stage. International prices are continuing to grow every year, but in the pre-owned market, these are starting to fall slightly as a percentage of the new. And that indicates to us that the shopper might be reaching some kind of a plateau. You know, they talk about luxury fatigue that's starting to hit the market, where people might have the same amount of money, but they're looking in other ways to spend their money. And that goes from outside of the luxury market. But what the report also shows us is it moves away from traditional brands. So for the first time, we're seeing consumers look more and more for alternative brands as opposed to the two big ones, which are Louis Vuitton and Gucci in South Africa.
That's quite interesting. And I look forward to, you know, unpacking that report with you at some point in greater detail. But talk to me about how you decide what brands you want to have on the platform. Like, what drives that decision outside of the traditional brands, as you mentioned?
Well, you know, we're really purely driven by what people are supplying to us. So we're always looking, number one, you know, is there the demand in South Africa, and is there enough demand for us to foster listing the brand? Another key important factor is how strong that demand protects its authenticity. So certain brands are much easier to fake and much harder for us to tell if they have been faked. So, you know, it's not just about being a luxury brand, but that brand needs to be able to ensure that they're producing it at a quality that it cannot be counterfeited, in order for us to be able to assure that our customers that we are reselling them a 100% authentic brand. And one of the quite interesting things that we've done this year is we've listed our first luxury South African brand, which was Brown's Jewelry. Mm-hmm. And originally we were skeptical to know, you know, is South Africa ready to have a South African heritage brand listed on the platform? How will it compare with Cartier? How will it compare with Tiffany? But quite interestingly is the brand has really been able to hold its own. And the resale prices it's getting are not that far off of its international competitors. So that's something that really gives us great hope for the South African luxury industry as a whole, seeing that consumers are, you know, not only sticking to the international brands, but also see the value of a local brand.
Do you see scope to add in another local brand? Is there another local luxury brand outside of Browns?
I mean, that's really up to the customers. As we say, their demand and their submissions to our website, that's what really allows us to list these brands and create a place for them to resell safely in the market. So we're always keeping an eye out. It's not specifically that we have to, you know, go out and look for those items, but it's that the customers need to demand them and supply them to us. So we're just we're just there to assist the market. Mm. So we're hoping over time As our brand grows and more people start to participate in the resale industry, certainly we'll be able to list more and more local South African brands that resonate with the consumers.
Before I let you go, do you find that you need to sort of bring in skills and people who are able to analyze whether an item is real or not? Like, how do you get through that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most difficult things at Luxity, because it's not just a case of bringing in that skill. You know, I almost wish we could just bring in that skill as you would in a normal business. But we, in fact, have to not only train people to be able to authenticate bags, see what to spot, etc., but we also have to develop some of the technology around that, or find some of the methods and fine tune them, because they don't exist necessarily. So, you know, at the same time, authentication isn't just a skill. It's something we have to research, implement, and then train our authenticators to do over time. So it's something that we invest heavily in, and I think it's a key differentiator for us.
Michael, thank you so much for chatting with us this evening. I look forward to reading your report when it is ready, and hopefully you can join us on the show to talk about the state of the Luxury Market Africa report, as you alluded to a bit earlier on. But we've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much to Michael Zakharev, who is the co-founder of Luxity, talking to us about how Prada is defying the downturn, but also trying to help us answer the question whether it will find its way back to South Africa.